Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Now, a lot of this language here is Oriental, and it's kind of hard, some of it, to understand. But I want to speak today about the family. I don't do this often enough. And the title of my message is Some Help for the Families. Some Help for the Families. I appreciate you being here, and those of you especially that have young children. I hope that this message will be a start maybe to help your family. And I'm not saying your family's having any problems, but we all could use some guidance. Some of you are parents. I'm especially concerned for those with younger children. I believe that that if you're going to wait till they're teenagers to start really having a Christian home, you've waited too long. You need to start when you have children. And so I'm speaking especially to them, those of you that aren't in that situation. I hope you'll just listen and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you something today. The family is like the fabric of society. It holds our society together. It's like the cells that make up a body. You can't see them. There's so many of them, but when one of those cells becomes corrupted, it tends to corrupt those that are nearby. And pretty soon that corruption spreads throughout the body, and we call it cancer or some other disease, and pretty soon that cancer corrupts the entire body. And so it is with society. If families begin to break down, if families begin to corrupt, it begins to affect the families near them, and they begin to corrupt, and the influence begins to spread across the nation so that the whole nation begins to become corrupted and weakened because the smallest unit, which is the family unit, is not strong. I believe that's happening in our country. I believe that so many families are beginning to corrupt and beginning to corrupt others, and we're even having a difficult time in our country defining what a family even is anymore. And it shouldn't be that way. We need to get the Lord back in on this. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. We've got to get the Lord back into our families. I prepared this message over a week ago. In fact, I sent out a letter. Many of you received a letter this week saying that I would speak on the family. I'm glad you came today. I hope it will help. I'm going to give about 5 points if time permits, and this is just the beginning of help. And maybe one or two will help you out, strengthen you up a little bit. We don't have enough teaching on the family today. We don't have enough preaching on the family today. Many of us grew up in public schools like I did, where there was really nothing that was ever taught us about how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father. And you kind of get attached to a girl and you get married and you get hurled into a situation. Now you're husband and wife and kids start coming along and you've really had no training whatsoever on how to be a father. And maybe you had a good father, maybe you didn't. If you had a good father, you could glean off of his example. If you didn't, you have to learn all the hard way. And churches have been silent about this. And then we live in a country that just, it's staggering, but we live in a country where 60% of all of the children in our country, ages 12 and under, have never been inside of a church one time in their entire life. That statistic is staggering to me. If we think things are bad now in society and regarding to the family and so on and so forth, what's it going to be like when this generation grows up and 60% of the children have never even been in church once? we're having problems, and I believe the Bible has the answer. I believe the Bible is the answer book. And I believe the answer is found right here in verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, this isn't talking here about carpentry. All right, this isn't talking here about 2x4s and 4x8s and sheets of plywood and drywall and roofing and stuff. The Lord building your house. No, it's talking about the home. And we need the Lord to build every single individual in every single family. Those are the best families. Those are the strongest families. And so I want to say, first of all, we need to let the Lord build the parents. This whole chapter is talking about the family, having children. Children are a heritage of the Lord, verse 3, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's a reward to have children. It's not a curse. After a few years, you wonder. But maybe after a few months, especially when they're, screaming all night and keeping you up and your eyes are bloodshot for about the first 6 months of their life and can't get any sleep, you wonder. But children are a reward. They're from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And they're supposed to be, in verse 5, a source of happiness. This is God's plan. But none of these promises in Psalm 127 will come to pass unless the first verse is obeyed. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord needs to build the Father. I'm sorry if you disagree with this, but the father is the most important unit in the family. I'd like you to keep your place here and turn to the next book and turn to Proverbs chapter number 17. I'd like to give you a biblical basis for the statement I just made. In Proverbs 17 and verse 6, it says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." The glory of children are their fathers. I didn't say fathers are better than mothers. I didn't say men are better than women. I said the father is the most important unit in the home. The glory of children are their fathers. There is something instinctive in every single human being. They come out of the womb with it, looking up to their father. When I was a little boy growing up, we used to brag about our fathers. We used to fight about our fathers with our friends. My father's better than your father. No, my father's better than your father. Yeah, well, my father can throw a football 100 yards. Yeah, well, my father can throw a football 200 yards. My father's stronger than you are. My father could beat your father to a pulp. And we would go on and on and on, but we never argued about our mothers and who was better. Why? The glory of children are their fathers. It's instinctive. God made us that way. There is nothing that a child needs more, besides knowing the Lord, which I'll get to later in the sermon, but to have a father who is a blessing to that child, a father who will praise that child, a father who will spend time with that child, a father who will teach that child, a father who will train up a child in the way that he should go. Children need fathers. They just grow up naturally and instinctively, both sons and daughters, adoring their fathers, looking at He hung the moon. He is it. And I could go into science here and talk about psychiatry and psychology and how many adults there are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s who have inner conflicts and inner issues psychologically, psychiatrically, emotionally, and so on and so forth, because they either didn't have a good father, or their father abandoned them, or their father didn't spend time with them, or their father didn't care about them, or their father deserted them. And so many have emotional maladies that have saturated our society that could have been fixed. I haven't had a good father. You'd be amazed at how many people in their adult years still can't understand why they're having trouble living with themselves, and it all goes back to the fact that they never received the blessing from their father. They never received the praise from their father that they needed. They never received the hug and the kiss and the attention and the affection that every boy and every girl comes out of the womb craving from his father. You've seen every boy and every girl just naturally walk up to his father and go like this. And when they're in dad's arms, everything in their world's all right. Everything. We've got to have fathers who are built by the Lord. Except the Lord build the house. We've got to have fathers who are built. Men, you need to have the Lord help you. God can help you be a father. He is a father. Our Father, which art in heaven. We need to have the Lord build mothers in our homes. Mothers are special people in the hearts of their children. They're an emotional being that can give out love and sympathy and empathy like no one else. And we need mothers who will be built by the Lord. Mothers who will have an affection, a natural affection for their sons and their daughters. I've never seen so many, and I have some statistics downstairs of mothers nowadays who are just abandoning their children. It's becoming an epidemic. And they're becoming preoccupied. And if you're not careful, moms, you'll become preoccupied in career and work and in money making and in your house and the busyness of all the things that you've got to do. That you miss one of your main callings. And that is to raise your boys and your girls. You need to have the Lord build mothers. God can help you. The Bible is a tremendous book of instruction on motherhood. There's so much in there on what to do, what not to do. Read the book of Proverbs. Read it over and over again. I'm trying to help all the families. Read it over and over and over again. The book of Proverbs will answer almost every question that you have on regards to child rearing, child discipline, marriage, finances, and the roles of a husband, the roles of a wife, the roles of a mother, the roles of the father. Dads, there's 23 conversations in the book of Proverbs between a father and his son. Over and over in the book, you'll read, "My son, my son, my son, my son," 23 times. It's a father talking to his son, training up his son in the way he should go, teaching him about life, teaching him about women, teaching him how to avoid debt and how to avoid surety and how to avoid usury and how to work hard and how to avoid different pitfalls. It's an example of what a father, a biblical father, should be doing. The type of father that the Lord builds is always talking to his son, talking and talking and talking and talking to him. And again, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. If you're here today and you've never done these things before, and you've never heard these things before, please don't feel embarrassed. Okay, we all have to start somewhere. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody with these instructions today. I'm just saying, this is what the Bible says. Get started today. Do what you can today and have conversations. Talk to your sons. Talk to your daughters. Turn the television off. Turn the computer off. Turn the radio and the music off. And watch out for your hobbies and your crafts and your interests and your yard work and all those things. All those things, we have to do oftentimes. And there's a long list of work that everybody has. Everybody's busy, but fathers and mothers do not be too busy for your children. Do not. And when they run up to you, don't say, scram, kid, I got things to do, but stop everything you're doing. You'll never regret it. Stop everything you're doing. Get your work done later. Stay up later, whatever you got to do. But take the time with your sons and your daughters. Let the Lord build your sons. I've said, I got more than 5 points here. Let the Lord build the fathers. Let the Lord build the mothers. Don't, before I go on, fathers and mothers, don't take your role model from the world. Don't say, well, I'm going to do this because all the other fathers in this world aren't doing this. All the other fathers in the world aren't doing that well today. Maybe there's a better standard we should look to. And say, you know, these fathers here, you know, they're out with the boys and they're out at the bar and they're out drinking beer and watching football and so on and so forth all day and all night and so on, and sports and baseball and fantasy leagues and so on and so forth. Maybe there's a better role model for a father than that. And again, I'm not trying to be critical, but the same thing with mothers. Moms, don't let your role model be what you see in the world. We see moms going crazy nowadays. They're like chauffeurs, running the kids here and here and there and everywhere and so on and so forth, and busy and busy and busy. You know, Dr. John Roseman wrote an article in the Buffalo News here recently. He said, you know, soccer time is not family time. And it's not. And mothers with their careers and moms working and so on and so forth and earning money and this, that, and the other. And they're exhausted. You know, maybe there's a better role model to follow. Maybe there's another better book where you can have a greater influence in your children. I'm just trying to help. We need to let the Lord build our sons. Our sons are losing their innocency too early in life by all of the influence, by all of the things they're seeing on the television and hearing in the music and seeing in the movies and so on. They're losing their innocency too early in life. And they're becoming infatuated with money. They're becoming infatuated with girls. They're becoming infatuated with dating and all these other things and having relationships way too young in life. You know, maybe there's another way to build a boy. It's in the Bible. Maybe there's another way to build a girl. Maybe there's a Lord's way, except the Lord build a house. We need to let the Lord build our girls. They had a study by the Rand Corporation, Pastor Seth gave it to me, where the girls nowadays in our society are being trained by television and movies and music to just simply be sex objects as early as you can in life. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe our girls are more valuable than that. Maybe our girls are more precious than that. Maybe God has a better life for them than that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Fathers, I want to encourage you to turn your hearts to your children. It starts with the fathers again. Turn to Malachi chapter 4. If you don't know where that is, it's right before Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. I said the influence of a father is greater than the influence of a mother. I'm going to give you another verse of Scripture that tells us that. It says in Malachi 4 and verse 6, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I mentioned what I think are some of the curses that we see in our society earlier. And so much of it goes back to children growing up without fathers, absentee fatherism, or fathers who didn't bond with their children, their sons and their daughters. They may live in the same house, but there is a wall that exists between them and their boys and girls. It needs to be broken down. Fathers, you need to compete, the Scripture says here, for the heart of your children. You need to compete for the heart of your children. Because there's going to be enough other people out there competing for it. Your son won't be 12, 13, 14, but some girl is going to compete for his heart. And your little daughter won't be but 11, 12 nowadays, or 13, and some boy is going to be competing for her heart. Dads, you need to compete for your own heart. There's too many things coming into men's hearts today. There's a tremendous competition for the heart of a man. Sports and money and cars and motorcycles and snowmobiles and decks and pools and campers and more sports and hobbies and crafts and things we love to do. And not all these things are bad. But your children are better. It says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now this is a prophecy about John the Baptist, who was the greatest prophet born of women that ever walked the earth, according to Jesus. And one of the things he would do in his ministry is he would try to get the fathers' hearts from being so distracted by the things of this world that he would turn the hearts of the fathers back to your children. And John the Baptist, and I think any good preacher or prophet should constantly say, dads, focus on your daughter. Focus on your son. This is your eternal legacy. Not boats and cars and swimming pools and snowmobiles and motorcycles and sports. This is your eternal legacy. Turn your heart. Win the competition for your heart. Don't let something pull your heart away from your family. But win the competition and say, my heart is going to be towards my children. It's very important, husbands and wives, if you're still married, and I know some of you are divorced and everything, and you just got to do the best you can in that situation. But if you're still married, one of the greatest things you'll ever do, and this is true for the psychological and psychiatric development of your children, is have a great marriage. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever do for the development of your children is to have a great marriage. Just love each other as husband and wife to death. And as I mentioned earlier, little boys and little girls, as they're growing up, their whole world is their father and mother. And if mom and dad are together, and mom and dad are happy, and mom and dad are in love, then that kid's world is perfect. But boy, that thing starts to come apart at the seams. And their whole world starts falling apart. So stay married. And have a good marriage. Filled with love. You know, hold hands and kiss and smooch and all those types of things. Your kids need to see you doing that. They need to show you, have you shown. Again, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Some of you, it's the first time you've ever heard this. Don't be embarrassed by it. Be helped by it. I have some things over here I developed. I work hard on these things. If you can't afford them, take them. Here's a course called Marriage 101. I worked hard. I worked for years on this. This teaches the 10 principles of a good marriage. Probably, if I tested most married couples in this room right now, you couldn't name 5 of them. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I'm amazed at how many times I'll give this out to somebody. I'll say, this will help you. And then months later, I'll talk to them. Did you listen to those tapes or CDs if you want? Did you work through the notebook? No, we didn't get a chance to. There's some things, folks, we need to stop our lives, and we need to get them fixed before we go on with. I did not make up these 10 principles. I borrowed them from experts. And then I took the Bible, and I took illustrations, and I added some meat to every single one of these 10 principles right here. They're on five tapes, 40 minutes each. You could listen to one 40-minute message a day for 5 days, and you could learn the 10 principles of having a strong marriage. They're on CD. This is MP3 if you have that. If not, take the. And then there's a corresponding notebook underneath here, Marriage 101. And there's a lot of other things that I don't cover on the tapes that I've gathered from experts and I've stuck in the notebook. But there's the 10 principles of a good marriage that you can go through. And on the side, I put all the scriptures so you don't even have to look them up in your Bible. And you listen to them and you take your own notes. And then if you want me to sit down with you and discuss the notes with you, I will. I expect people to get married. Those two marriages I did the last Saturday, they have to go through this course. I wouldn't marry them without. I had two weddings this year I refused because they wouldn't go through this. I'm not going to do that with marriages anymore. These 10 principles work anywhere anyone has ever worked them. They cannot fail. And they'll not only keep you married, they'll keep you happily married. Take these. There's a box here. If you want to put some money in it, you can. Because we produce these things. But if you don't have money, take them with you. They're on the website for free, www.fbbc.com. Just remember the first initials of our church's name, Faith Bible Baptist Church. These are awesome right here. These are called What is Parenting? Again, I can't tell you how much time I put in on this. All right? And I don't claim to be an expert. I've just studied the Bible. I've raised three kids. They're in their 20s now. They're not perfect. You all know that. But I love my kids, and these are just things we try to do. These are the 8 principles of parenting right here. Loving your children, teaching your children, disciplining your children, training your children, saving your children, praying for your children, dedicating your children, providing for your children. Okay? The people in this room right now who need this the most are those who right now are thinking, I don't need that. Those of you that are so proud and hard-headed and hard-hearted and think, I'm fine, I don't need that, you're the ones that need it the most. And when we run out of those, we'll make more. We'll keep those. But brethren, I have literally got years and years and years of experience and research and prayer that I can't give out in a short sermon on Sunday morning. But I guarantee you in 1 week's time, you can help your marriage and you can help know how to raise your children if you'll work at it, if you work diligently at it. We need to let the Lord build fathers. We need to be humble men. Men, we need to be humble. We need to be teachable. We need to say, God, help me. You only get one shot at it. God can help you know what you're doing. Moms, you need God's help. God can help you. And we need to let the Lord build sons and daughters. And I have no idea what point I'm up to, but I got a few more points, and then we'll be done here in about 10 minutes. Turn to Matthew 19. I want to say, whatever the number is, let the children come to the Lord. I said, let the Lord build the fathers. Let the Lord build the mothers. Let the Lord build your sons. Let the Lord build your daughters. Don't let Hollywood build them. Don't let Hollywood build your boys. Don't let the sports leagues build your sons and your daughters. Let the Lord build them. I'm not saying that those things are wrong to participate in a little bit, maybe with a little bit of moderation. But we're too often relying on those things to raise our children. Our children are in a triple S situation right now. That's just something I've come up with. Our children are being raised by a system today, not by a family. And that system is the schools, sports, and social clubs. And you'll find that in almost every case, none of those are attached to the family. They're being raised by the schools, the public schools, which are secularistic by law. Not that the teachers want to be that way, necessarily. But they were told back in the 60s, you can't pray with the kids, you can't study the Bible with the kids. In 1980, you can't teach them the Ten Commandments. We're completely secular, separation of church and state, and they twisted up the Constitution, I believe, to produce a secular school system. And then they're in a secular sports system. All year long, there's something they can be involved in. Soccer, it doesn't matter, girls or boys. Soccer and baseball and football and cheerleading and so on and so forth. They're in a secular sports system. And then they're in a secular society system. Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, ballet, and all these other things. And again, some of these things might be good, might be very, very honorable, but if good keeps children away from the best, then I'm not going to have it. And what's the best? Look at Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I want to say number four, whatever point you have, let the children come to Christ. Let the children come to Christ. Brethren, as a pastor, I'm telling you, I can name family after family after family after family after family right now that I've been trying to minister to, that aren't in church today, weren't in church last week, weren't in church a month ago, weren't in church 6 months ago. And you go to them, and as honestly and sincerely as they would be, they say, Pastor Cole, we know we should be there, but we're so busy. Doing what? Well, we got sports, and our kids are in this club and that club, and so we're running them here, running them here. Fathers and mothers, you better take a good look in your children's God-given eyes someday and realize you're looking into the eyes of an eternal soul. That if this Bible is true, is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell forever. And we better get some priorities in line. Except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain that build it. And I would encourage you to do the opposite, and that is keep them away from every distraction until they come to a definite decision of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The very first characteristic that we ever learn about our adversary, the devil, is what? The very first time he's ever mentioned. The Lord used one word to describe him. It's in Genesis 3, verse 1. Shout it out. Who knows what it is? Subtle. He's subtle. He's not open. He's not out front. He's not in your face. He's subtle. We are told in the church epistles to not be ignorant of his devices. To beware of his wiles. And brethren, Satan's bid for your child is so subtle that he just simply takes good things to keep your kid away from the best. And the best is Christ. Ab Thomas, probably one of the living experts on child evangelism, says in his study that 85% of all people who are ever born again Christians who accept Jesus Christ do so between the ages of 4 and 14. The missionaries here from Amazing Grace Missions this morning, they've been working out at the fair with us. They can tell you, I got the cards downstairs from the Dunkirk Fair. I'll guarantee you the cards from the Erie County Fair. 113 at Dunkirk, 186 at Hamburg, that's 300. You go through them and you look at the ages. Of those coming into our tent and into our booth to receive Christ as their Savior, and I'll guarantee 85% are teenagers. When they get into their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, adults start getting hard-headed and hard-hearted, and it's harder and harder and harder to receive. For them to receive Christ. Because to be saved, you've got to humble yourself and become as a little child and be converted. We've got to suffer the little children to come unto Christ. Let your children come to Christ. We have designed a church here to help assist you, but we cannot take your place. It's got to be the father and the mother who try to lead their children to Christ. But we do have Sunday school classes here for every age at 9:50 every Sunday morning. We have a children's church downstairs right now for ages 2 through 13. They're down there learning the Bible on their level. We have a Gracious Girls Club for grades 1 through 6 girls tonight at 5:30. We have a Baptist Boys Battalion for boys grades 1 through 6 tonight at 5:30. We have a children's church in the 6:30 service tonight. It's a smaller one, but it's for ages 2 to 6 to go to. On Wednesday nights, we have a kids club for ages 2 through grade 6 at 7 o'clock. It's like Boy Scouts. It's like Girl Scouts, where they can come and earn badges and have activities. They have a Pinewood Derby coming up September 23rd. And all of these we design, they're all for the same philosophy. Let the children come to Christ. And I want to encourage those of you that are working in any of these ministries that I've listed in the bus ministry too, please do your best. Please be filled with the Spirit. Please give your all to the ministry, because that's when children are the most receptive and the most sensitive to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Please give your all to those children's ministries, so the parents in our church who do bring them into these, that you can just simply assist them and supplement and complement their Christian home with another voice telling the children the same thing. But let the children come to Christ. Why can't these things serve instead of the soccer leagues and the little leagues and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and so on? And I know that those clubs out there are by good people in society who are working, and the best they know how, they're helping. They think they're helping. But brethren, children are souls. They're eternal souls. And last of all, don't only bring the children to Christ, but I've been saying this all along, and turn to Isaiah 54 in closing. Let your children know the Lord. Not just get saved. Anybody can get saved by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's a decision that we make in a moment when we realize we're lost, we've sinned, Jesus died for us, shed his blood, we can't save ourselves. Lord Jesus, please save me. And we trust Christ as our Savior. Salvation, it's a wonderful experience. Everyone needs to have it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But you know, that's just the beginning of the education that the Lord wants us to give our children. Look at Isaiah 54 and verse 13 in closing. It says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." If I asked for a show of hands today and said, how many of you would like to have your children have peace? I think any reasonable person would raise their hand. Say, I want my child to have peace. I don't want them to go through life in turmoil and all these emotional, man, you look at these poor teens that don't know the Lord and they're out there dating and they're out there in interpersonal relationships and so on and so forth, and they don't have good fathers and mothers, and they're just so desperate to be accepted, so desperate to have somebody give them some attention, so desperate for love, and they have everything but peace given to them by the world. Ah, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace, amen? And he has a promise for you moms and dads here. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Don't just bring your children to Christ, but teach them about the Lord. Have family devotions. Have a time in your home every day when your children are little where you read a little portion. Maybe write, by the way, you ought to eat together, amen? Have a time where your family eats together. Forget this stuff going in and watching some TV show while you're plating your lap or something. Eat together and talk together, laugh together. How was your day? What was your day? What did you do today? What did you learn today? Boy, just have some traditions and customs in your family that the kids will remember all their life. We ate together. And especially when your kids are young, then as soon as you're done eating, open the Bible up. Open up to some of the exciting passages like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read a chapter. If the chapter's too long, read half the chapter. Don't bore the kids, but read through it and say, hey, what did Jesus do here? What did you learn here? While I was reading, what did you think about? And have those kids start learning about the Lord. And then have a short time of prayer, maybe after you're done eating or before you go to bed. And don't let them chant these recited prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray, O Lord. No. Teach them to pray to God like He's person, like He's real in their life. Sing with your children in the car, especially when they're little kids. I tried purposely not to say one thing about experiences in our marriage or children today, because I don't want to embarrass my kids or anything. But I'll close with one about Rebecca, because she's downstairs in children's church. We were going through the grocery store one time, and she was in the grocery, you know, the thing you sit in. She's a little girl. And she fell out once, right on her head, too. They ought to just, I don't know what to do, but they got to, well, that was something. But she were just going down through there. We just sang a lot when they were little in our home. And we were going through Tops. It was Tops at the time in Derby. And she's just in the chair. They're going, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And these people are just staring at her. She's just going through. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. And we were good putting stuff in the car. We never even thought about it. Can you imagine somebody, are you weary at the thought of dying? Tell it. Little kid just it's a riot. Kids aren't getting good music today. Music's a powerful medium. They need to learn these choruses. They need to learn these old hymns and hymn books. They need to learn the Bible from mom and dad. And you can do it. You can do it if you try. It's not that hard. You got to get started, though. You got to get started. Let the Lord build your house. You'll never regret it. And again, if this is the first time in your life you ever heard and you're hot under the collar and you say, boy, I haven't, you know, I remember one guy I preached one time and he said, I'm not going to your church anymore. I feel like such a failure every time I go there. And I said, that's not why I preach. I'm not trying to make you feel like a failure or anything. I'm not trying to put myself up like I'm some great success. I'm not. But I'm trying to help you. Get started today. To have a Christian home and recognize, you know, are my kids in a system or are they in a family? Are my kids part of a system or are they part of him? And by the way, that system is all with their peers. Kids their age, which is probably the worst type of people you want them around. What do kids their age know? You're the one with the wisdom. Grandma and grandpa are the ones with the wisdom. The more you can keep away your kids away from their peers, the better off you'll be. Maybe some of you have thought about this before, maybe even homeschooling. Some have done that. We've got probably a dozen families doing that, but that's something you're going to have to pray about, get some counsel about. It's not going to affect their socialization. Now, I got a lot of things I could say, but we got to close and have baptism, so let's bow our heads for prayer. And those